If you want a life that's fulfilling, you have to make Jesus the center of everything you do. I played that game before. I grew up in the church, but I didn't make Jesus everything in my life. He was an afterthought. I went to church every Friday. Our youth ministry was on Friday nights. So I missed football games and stuff like that. And you know what? And I went to church religiously, but I didn't have a relationship with him because Jesus wasn't the center of my life. Went chasing after a ring. That was one of my goals to accomplish in life, was to get one of those conference, big old fat conference rings. I accomplished that. But as I'm watching and seeing all my teammates on the floor, on a dog pile celebrating, I've never felt more empty in my life because Jesus wasn't the center of my life. Jesus needs to be center of our lives, not just in our lives, but also within our lives and our relationships. Friends who will go the extra mile with you because they know how to endure all things, regardless of what's going on in your life. Surrounding yourself with people who also have made Jesus the center of their life will help you in your faith. The more they know about Jesus, the better off you will be. And the more you know about Jesus, the better off you will be. They will always point you towards his word. Always. Not to their own opinions, but to his word. And when they help you, there's no strings attached. They're just genuinely helping you. Those are true friends and true relationships. These are Jesus-centered relationships. It's the highest level of relationship that you can receive with other people. In Proverbs 27:17, it says this, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Staying connected to those who love Jesus rather than in this world will help sharpen the dullness in our lives. It's important to understand that they need to be rooted in the word and not just worldly philosophy, because they can add some rust to your blade. If you have people around you trying to compete, and y'all heard me talk about this with the competition and with the dominance, I said they are basically lacking in a genuine relationship in their life if they're trying to compete with you. They're not sharpening you. They're just trying to compete with you. And it's not to judge, but Jesus didn't compete. He dominated. When you are walking with Jesus and dominating, the attention isn't on you, but on the one who lives on the inside of you. You don't have to say, look at me and look at what I'm doing. Look at all the things that I've accomplished in life. Look at this and look at that. You don't have to go there. People will ask what you're doing. How is it that you are so calm during this storm? All hell is breaking loose around you. What are you doing that makes you so calm and you're so at peace with life, and you can still pour into other people? You can just speak Jesus. He's the reason. He's the reason why I'm able to do this. He's the reason why I'm able to accomplish these things, because he's given me that ability to do all those things. Those who live and walk and talk with Jesus dominate. Does it mean that they're perfect? No. Does it mean that they never have any problems? No. So as you choose your friends, choose wisely. As iron sharpens iron, if they compete with you, if you can say they might be lacking a little deficiency, they're a little bit iron deficiency in that. They're lacking something that's integral and that's a part of their life. You don't want them to rust you up. But that's why you stay connected to the one who can strengthen you every day. Dominating in life brings everyone along the journey with you. You want everyone to succeed around you. You want to bring them along. When you're competing, you're tearing people down, and you're going to be the only one standing. And pretty soon, you are going to be your God. The word of God is sharper than any double-edged sword. So even if they are being a good friend, take the advice that points you back to Jesus. Because that's what's going to help you. That's where you're going to win over in life. It's through his word. You know, it's better. It's great to have friends to talk sports. There's a time in my life where all I ever did was talk sports. As soon as somebody wanted to talk sports, I'm good. Because I didn't want to talk about anything else because I didn't know anything else. So I would just wait, kind of like Double Dutch, to jump in. Somebody mentioned sports. Yes. Otherwise, I'm watching sports. But when you start learning a little bit more about Jesus, now you can share what you know. It's better to be a part of a community that can talk about Jesus without cringing every time you hear his name. One of the things the Lord has put on my heart, I shared this on a Wednesday night, if some of you weren't there, but it's called Have a Seat. That's my small groups, or the small groups that we're doing. Have a seat. We're going to get deeper into learning about Jesus and helping people fulfill their walk with Jesus and their purpose in life. Have a seat. Pull up a chair. And let's conversate. Because it's not about competition, it's about domination. We're bringing you along. You need Jesus in your marriage. Ephesians 5:25 says his husbands loving their wives just as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. This doesn't mean it's a dictatorship. Or you get to dominate your wife. You love your wife as Christ loved the church. Husbands are responsible for leading his family. They are the spiritual leaders of the home. And if you don't have a genuine relationship with Jesus, how can you love your wife the way he wants you to? See, it starts with your relationship with him. Him working on you, and then you loving your wife, and then you leading your family. Pastor Tim, I didn't do that. Time to start. No time better than now. So it starts with you today. Today, making that commitment to get closer to Jesus every day. Tell him about all your faults. He'll listen. If you mess up, fess up to him. Where you have problems, trusting him. I used to have a problem trusting God and finances. I'll get a little bit into that later on. But if you have problems trusting him in certain areas, guess what? You're not the first. And you definitely won't be the last. But God is an understanding God. He's a compassionate God. And Jesus is a compassionate Savior. And he understands what you're going through, but if you put your trust in him, it's going to make a better situation for you in your life. If there's one person that you can be transparent with, it's him. Spend more time in the word getting to know him and who he truly is. If you ever prayed for your wife before, today. If you've never prayed for your wife, start doing it today. Get together just once a day. Pray. It doesn't matter. I used to be afraid of, I wouldn't say afraid because being introverted, I didn't talk much and I definitely didn't want to pray in front of her. And it wasn't until we were doing, I remember some of y'all might remember the Wednesday night prayer circles that we had up here. And I would get with Andrew and Marietta Cummings. And it just started out with about 5 words. It gets to my turn. I got about 5 words. That's about it. But 5 words progress into 10. 10 progress into 15. 15 progress into 20. And then pretty soon, I was able to pray more effectively with other people. And not with just other people, with other members of my family. Hey, babe, you want to pray for food? No, you pray. Okay. What's she doing? Helping me to lead. You have to pray. All right. I can do that now. Ephesians 5:22 says this, wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Placing Jesus at the center of your marriage requires both husband and wife to follow what the Lord is leading you to do. A husband cannot have a wife submit to anything outside of God's will. You got to make sure you're in God's will when you're having her to submit. No one is going to be perfect in this, but when Jesus is the focus of your relationship, and the word is what you two agree on, then that leads to a better marriage. Doesn't mean you're not going to have any fights and arguments and stuff. You're still going to have those. Men, focus on Jesus, loving your wife as Christ loves the church, and leading your family. Wives, focus on Jesus and submitting to your husbands. Now, this is a little reminder. Be an Esther, not a Delilah, for your family. Amen? Esther helped with the vision. Delilah, tear down the vision. Tear down the man. You build your man up. You need Jesus in your finances. Some of you might say, hey, come back to me after Christmas season. I got more shopping to do. But really, Matthew 6:24 says this, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to one and despise the other, and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Deceitful riches, money, possessions, or whatever is trusted in. Jesus is not saying you can't have money. We all know we gotta live with money. This is how we function in life. This is how we buy our groceries and things. This is how we give. This is what we give. We don't give spices. I'm not gonna take spices. I don't want spices. It's kinda how you can't pay light bills with spices. Amen. Jesus is not saying you can't have money. After all, he had a treasure with him at all times. Who's that treasure? Judas. And Judas helped himself to the treasury. See, Judas was a person who was serving mammon rather than God. And he even betrayed Jesus and he got that 30 pieces of silver. He was serving mammon. Jesus wants you to be doing the right thing with what you have so you can continue to be a vessel for the kingdom. At one point in time, I wasn't doing that. My wife was doing that, but I wasn't doing that. I wasn't giving. I wasn't down with this tithing thing. I wasn't down with this giving thing. She kind of took the lead in that. But it got to the place to where I said, you know what? If I can trust God with my salvation, with my life, my eternal salvation, how come I can't trust him with the little thing in money? My life is more important than money. So how come I can't give it to him? Why am I having such a hard time? And I had to renew my mind with the word. And we had to start out. I remember $4.85 every 2 weeks, $48.50 every 2 weeks we were tithing. That's how much I was making. And then it got to the point, again, he gives seed to the... We began sowing. And I remember there was a time when we, after leaving the daily, I was making $8.75 an hour with four kids. How? Working multiple jobs. And then I did the barbecue thing. And there was one week where we had a great week. We had a catering gig and we had a great week in the restaurant and stuff. And that tithe, that one tithe we got was worth more than my paycheck that I would get 2 weeks. It was almost like a $500 tithe, and I was excited to bring it to God. Because we were faithful in the little. Now we give more than what I used to make all year at that place. That's just on record. That's not outside of that in who we help. He will give seed to the sower. You're just doing it just to get money. No, I'm doing it so I can give. Where's that card at? It's in my pocket. Somewhere. Had it. Is my card over there? No, it's up here. Proverbs 21:26 says this. This is from Joe McGee. I am a giver, therefore I will lack nothing. I like this. It says, some people are always greedy for more, but the godly love to give. And whoever gives to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to poverty will be cursed. We are a nation that hasn't closed our eyes to poverty. And we are a people that will not close our eyes to poverty, but just giving them money ain't gonna do anything for them. It's the knowledge. Some people need to be taught how to manage it. If God can get it to you, can he get it through you? Will he be able to get it through you if he can get it to you? I think we can all say that. Yes, we can. He just wants my money. No, I don't. I can do without. I can DoorDash. I can work. I'm still young. I can work. I want to be in a position where I don't have to take a salary from the church and just focus on the kingdom. It doesn't matter where you were before you heard this. It took me a little while before I began to trust God in this area of my life. And I realized if I can trust him with my eternal salvation, then that, why is it hard for me to trust him with my money? If you can trust God with your eternal salvation, you can trust him with your money and what he's given you. He's given you the ability to get wealth. That came from him, not us creating our own stuff. He's a creator. He created us. And if you haven't started, maybe it's time to take a step of faith. Some people take a leap of faith. Take a step of faith. Some of you may have did it today. Some of you may have did it last week. All it is is just starting with a quarter. You give something. Some people may not like Brother Copeland, but I like his story in his beginning. He said he didn't have nothing to give, so he sold the pencil that was in his hand. And by the end of the service, somebody gave him $20, and he went back and took his pencil and sold that 20. He sold all that he had. The woman, the little widow, she gave all that she had. Some people give out of their abundance, and that's great. And they're saying, look at how much I gave. But she really gave all that she had, her two mites. She trusted Jesus in his finances. Even in your businesses. Do you tithe in your business? If you have a business, are you tithing? Are you giving? Who are you blessing? I know what it's like to owe creditors. I used to run from them. Hide from them. They come looking for their advertisement and stuff. They come in, I'm in the back door. Why? Because I owed them money and I didn't have it. Boy, it makes a big difference when you begin giving and you begin tithing and you have the money to give in every which way. God's grace is sufficient for all of us, and he doesn't run out of grace just because you mess up. So if you mess up, fess up. Give it to God. Jesus is the gospel. The gospel is too good to be true news. So place your dependency upon him once and for all, and he will never let you down, but despite what you may do. We give because we honor those who gave us the ability to gain wealth. I give because I honor God. I honor him. Lord, this is you. This is for you. You are the source of my life, not my job. I'm thankful for what we give. And even every single time I go in, I go to the bank, Lord, thank you for this. There's times when we didn't get paid. Lord, I thank you that we have enough in reserves. Your job is the main source of life. Although you need one to support and take care of your family, but you're just saying that Jesus is the source. Here's another thing. Do you give Jesus your time? We talk about sowing. Do we sow our time into him? I'm not trying to make a doctrine out of this or a theological stand or what have you. I said, but when we give a tithe, some people may tithe. And do we tithe our time? We got 24 hours in a day. Do we give God at least 2 hours a day? Do we spend that much time with him? If not, start filling out your day. Start it with him in the middle of the day. Spend some time with him. And before you go to bed at night, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. He is the first and the last, the author and finisher of our faith. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is creator of all things. Revelations 1:8 says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, says the Lord, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. He is the great I am. So can we sow our time into Jesus? We can sow our time into watching shows. Sometimes when I travel, I'll go to Pratt, what have you, and TJ's there and stuff. And then I see they put a DVD player in that car. It used to be Ethan's. He had it first, and TJ had it, and I have it now. And got a DVD player there, so I can watch movies on the way and every which way. It's pretty nice. So sometimes I'll be watching Remember the Titans. Some good movies in there. Other times I'll just put in a USB port right there and have preaching. I'm sowing. I'm spending time in the Word. I'm spending time listening to that. Podcasts, things that I... Podcasts are so nice. You remember... Some people might remember the reel-to-reel. CDs. What is a CD? Now it's on your phone and you can get podcasts every single day and you can listen. There were times when I had Brother Hagin's podcast and I was working out here and I'm mowing. And there's time when he gave an altar call, like I wouldn't say an altar call, but when he's just praying, I had to stop because the anointing was so strong. We are without excuse when it comes to spending time in the Word, spending time with Jesus. Nothing can stop us but us. Do you start your day out with them? On the way driving your kids to school? I know sometimes those little school lines can be a little testing to your patience in every which way, okay? Drop three off at a time, not just one, okay? And you don't have to watch your child go all the way in while everybody's waiting for you. Three at a time, please. Kids have to say, Dad, calm down. But they're just waiting. Okay, three at a time, it goes quicker. It's more efficient. What about on your way to work? You spending that time before you get to work? What about when you go to sporting events? Are we representing Jesus when we're cheering for our team? I was yelling at the TV the other day. They can't hear me. Coaching from the couch. And you know what? They still did what they wanted to do. They didn't listen to me. And I know we're not all perfect in this, but when we are, and there are ways that we can communicate with our family and friends that others may deem unnecessary. But here's the thing. It's the time that we spent with him that makes us better in our lives. Jesus spent a lot of time preaching the kingdom and healing and raising the dead, but he also took time to go to the synagogue. That was his custom. He also spent time to go in solitude and pray to the Father. If he needs to do it, so do we. We're no better than him, by far. We are no better than him. But he took the time to do these things, and yet he still was busy doing everything else in life. So I want you to ask yourself a few of these questions. Does Jesus have the last word in your life? Does he have the last say-so? You know, he is the Alpha and the Omega. He was there at the beginning of your problems, and he'll be there at the end. He ain't going nowhere. Let everything we do is to bring glory to Jesus from the time you wake up to the time you rest your head at night. And I don't believe anyone sleeps standing up. When you remove Jesus out of the center of your life, there's really no purpose for those who believe in him. We have no purpose then. if he's at the center. We're just chasing the things we want. Is he Lord of your life? Does Jesus have supreme authority over your life? If he doesn't, time to make it. And every of you on my job, even if you work from home, does Jesus have authority over your life at home when you're working there? So let this Christmas season be about Jesus, not just this Christmas. We're going to carry this on over. Because we're going to help people develop their relationship with Jesus. Closely walk with them. Not to compete, but to do what? Dominate. When you're dominating, you're bringing people along the journey with you. Last time I checked, everybody wanted to be around Jesus, not the Pharisees. So even when we're talking about certain things and when we're in those circles and those groups or what have you, I don't want it to be about me. Well, Pastor Tim said this. No. Go to the Word. It's not about me. It's about Him. Jesus. Let Jesus be the center when you're dealing with your children. Let Jesus be the center of your life when you're dealing with your finances. Let Jesus be the center of your life when you have your hobbies. Even people, who loves to hunt in here? Anybody love to hunt? Not too many hunters. There you go. That's good. Lord, bring me a 10-point buck here. Cross my path. Is that how you say it? I don't even know. I'm not a hunter. Involve them in that before you even get up in that tree in your blinds. Involve them. Pray. Let Jesus be the center of your friendships. Let Jesus be the center of your work. Let Jesus be the center of your school. Let Jesus be the center of your healing. Let Jesus be the center of your learning. Let Jesus be the center of your mental health. Let Jesus be the center of your deliverance. Let Jesus be the center of your addictions. Let Jesus be the center of your choices that you make in everyday life. He is the center of our lives. We shouldn't be ashamed to say the name Jesus. We shouldn't be afraid to pray the name Jesus in public. We shouldn't be afraid to say, I felt impressed by the Lord to give you this, to sow this into you, to pray for you. If you need any help, here's my number. Call me. If not, that's cool. Don't even invite him in church. Just be who God has called you to be. I don't want you to invite people to church. You know, because what ends up happening? You don't show up for church. They do and you don't. Because you might be out of town or something. Or you may have told them 1 week and then 3 months later and then you're not even there. And it's like, well, they invited me. Well, they weren't gone today. So then you never see them again. I went that one time and you weren't there and they were just waiting on you. Don't even invite. But just allow your actions. Not just what you say. Anybody can say stuff. But let your actions. And you're not going to be perfect in that either. That's why you need a Savior. That's why you need to make Him Lord. Jesus. Jesus, when you're delivering packages. I deliver food. On the side. One of these days I might have some hot cocoa for you. If you can stop by and get some. It's going to be cold. 0 degrees on Thursday? They must be out there mine. Jesus. The world needs Jesus. Our nation needs Jesus. But he needs his children to act just like him. So be bold. And if you're going to stir some things up, stir up the kingdom of God and send hell running out the room. And it takes boldness to do that. You don't have to sit there and stand for unrighteousness and just let it unfold. You have authority. And he's given you that authority. No other religion can do that. Jesus. How do I grow in my relationship with Jesus? Number one, spend time in the Word. You have to learn about him. And there's the people that know a lot about Jesus, but they don't know him. Know him. Spend time with him in prayer. Spend time with people who know him, that know the Word. You're not going to ever deviate from the Word because he and the Word is one. Get yourself in a church that preaches the Word. Now, don't just preach. Demonstrate. Amen. Father God, we thank you for today. We thank you for all you've done, Lord. We thank you, Jesus, that you are the Lord of our lives, Lord. We thank you for healing in this place, Lord, flowing all through this place for those who need it, Lord. Healing in their relationships, healing in their marriage, healing in their friendships, healing in their school systems, Lord. We thank you for that. We thank you. Healing in their bodies, Father God, we thank you. Hallelujah. Healing in their souls. Healing in their finances. We thank you for supernatural favor for those who are going through things, Lord, and that you have already made a way out for them. In the name of Jesus. You're not short of miracles, God. And if those who are needing a miracle in their life today, stand up. Doesn't matter what area it is. Because if you don't need a miracle, that means you're living in a blessing. And that's even better than a miracle. Amen. We thank you, Lord, and we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Mr. Wassinger, you can come on.
If you hear me walking around singing that little rum-pa-pum-pum, I like that song, but I got to tell you a little story and then I'll get on with why I'm up here. The other night, Marlene and I were watching one of those 48-hour Hallmark shows, and this guy was going down the snow trail on a snowmobile, and he crashed into a tree, and I went rum-pa-pum-pum. Marlene says, Tom, now's not the time to sing rum-pa-pum-pum. But I want to tell you something that happened to me. I got to share something that happened to me. Back in 1983, somebody come up to me and they said, let me tell you about my Jesus. So they told me about my Jesus. I accepted him. And one day I was sitting at home and all the family were gone and I said, God, I need a word from you. Give me a word. So I went in the Bible like we're supposed to. And he gave me Ezekiel 36:26. It says, I will remove from you a heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And that changed my life. And I sat underneath our former pastor for years and years and years so I could go out and tell people about my Jesus. So now what Pastor Tim's doing, he just shared. He almost took everything away that I had prepared. But that's okay. That's okay. He's just doing what God told him to do. So anyway, if you come and sit under Pastor Tim and Kristen and listen to his teaching and his word and let it soak into your heart, you can go out there someday and tell somebody, say, let me tell you about my Jesus. So what I'm up here for today, we're going to honor Pastor Tim and Kristen. We set a basket out back there in the back so we can just bless them financially and stuff. So if you want to, just drop it in on the way out and shake hands with them or something. I don't know if they're in the mood to hug or not, but so anyway, that's what's available. So there is a basket back here, Pastor Tim, Kristen. Thank you for all you've done for us. I told him earlier I wasn't going to embarrass him, so I'm not going to. So he's doing a wonderful job. We thank you for that. So anyway, let's just pray. Extend your hands, and we'll pray over him. Father God, we just lift up our pastor and his wife to you right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for the godly wisdom that you bestowed upon him. We thank you that he answered the call in his life. Even though he did a little bit of dribbling down the courts and stuff, that's not what you had him for, Lord. We know what his plan is for. So, Father, we just thank you that we take him serious, we take your word serious, and we thank you that he's a blessing to us. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Is that good?
Thank you. Thank you. You all are free to go.
Thank you for joining us today. If you want more information about Westview Church or would like to listen to a previous broadcast, we invite you to check out our website at westviewchurch.tv or like our Facebook page at Westview Church of Hayes.